My guest at this time is Ohio Republican Congressman Jim Jordan. He is also chairman of the Republican Study Committee, the Coalition of House Conservatives. Just a few days after the House Republicans on the Budget Committee introduced their budget proposal for the next decade, the RSC has unveiled its own and promising to be even more aggressive in balancing the budget, saying they can do it in about 5 years' time if their provisions are enacted. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Good to be with you today.
Obviously, given the size of our debt and our annual deficits right now, that is a bold effort on your part. Let's talk about some of the biggest ways you get there. One, right off the bat, you might get a little bit of help from the Supreme Court, and that's repealing the president's health care plan.
Let's hope so. Yeah, Obamacare is going to cost the taxpayers in this country a lot of money, and let's hope so. But we just think, Greg, you got to get there in a reasonable amount of time. You need to show the American people what it takes, and you can do it. And the reason it's so important is I always tell folks it's just plain wrong for one generation to live for the moment, spend for the moment, and send the bill to the next generation. It's immoral, and we have got to change that. So our plan does that, and we get to balance in a reasonable period of time. We protect national defense. We put in place a tax reform that would be conducive to economic growth, and we think it's a great plan.
You also want to move discretionary spending to just below fiscal year 2008 levels. Mm-hmm. How much has that ballooned since 2008, and how much of a dent will that make in the budget?
It's been huge. I mean, we just want to take discretionary spending back to where Nancy Pelosi had it in her last budget. But under this administration, it is just over $800 billion increase in annual spending. It's just out of control, as the American people know. And so what we say is let's do what a lot of families have had to do, a lot of small business owners have had to do. Let's go back to what we were spending just a few years ago, and let's freeze it there until we can actually balance. Again, not a radical idea, pretty common sense thing that lots of American families have had to do over the last few years. Why in the world shouldn't the entity that, oh, by the way, has a $16 trillion debt, a debt that's now bigger than our entire economy, why shouldn't that entity have to do the same thing every family or many families and many businesses have had to do? That's our point.
And just to point out, $800 billion increase since 2008 is darn near doubling it from where it was back in 2008. Sequestration. Some have said that given the cuts that would make in defense spending and the national security concerns, that perhaps that shouldn't be honored. Where does the RSC come down on that?
We actually honor the amount. Now we change how it's divided up because we don't think it's appropriate to cut the one area that we're actually supposed to spend your money in, Greg, and that's national defense. So what we do is we say, okay, the sequester says you're supposed to save $110 billion in year one. We save more than $110 billion in year one. We're the only budget that does that. And we do it, but we do say, look, it shouldn't come out of national defense. It should come out of other areas of government, and that's what we spell out in our budget plan. We think that makes sense. We think that's consistent with the United States Constitution. We think that's consistent with where most American families are.
You're also planning to save over $1 trillion, $1.3 trillion, in fact, in two different areas that in your summary here don't get a lot of attention, but obviously would require a lot of work. Number one, returning combined spending on more than 70 welfare programs to pre-recession levels once unemployment drops to 6.5%.
Yeah.
Explain what's going on there. Are we talking about redundant programs?
Yeah, we got. I mean, look, there are 70 different means-tested social welfare programs. You know, over a dozen in education, and over a dozen in to two dozen in healthcare, and then in job training. We had all these different things, redundant, overlapping programs, and the idea is, if you really want to help families that you're supposed to help that are in real need, probably do better if we didn't have 70 different programs. So we want to reform that. And then we also want to say that the pattern has always been when you have difficult economic times, social welfare spending increases, as many would expect. But then when you come out of those difficult times and the economy gets back to more normal growth patterns, it never seems to the social welfare spending never seems to come down. And so what we're saying is, okay, once we get back to a normal economy and unemployment levels get lower, then let's figure out how much we're spending and let's not grow it anymore. And then let's actually reform the program so we can actually do a better job of helping the families who are intended to get the help. And we think, again, that's common sense. That's what families and small business owners would have to do when they manage their affairs. Why shouldn't the entity, again, with a $16 trillion national debt have to do the same thing?
Bullet point two there, reducing unnecessary mandatory spending in programs outside of the major entitlements of Medicare, Medicaid, mm-hmm. and Social Security. Two words there that most people might not think go together, unnecessary and mandatory. So if you have to spend it, but it's not necessary, which side wins?
Well, I mean, look, we're talking about, can there be reform in the food stamp program? Certainly. Can there be reform in other other mandatory spending? In other words, you qualify for it, you get it. You have to change the definition of how individuals qualify for those. But that's important. And one of the good things that we have in this budget, and frankly Paul Ryan has in his budget, is this process called reconciliation. But a fancy name for simply telling committees who have jurisdiction over certain areas, you need to go find savings in this particular area. You need to rework how these programs are defined and operate so that we can achieve real savings for the taxpayer and put us on a path that's fiscally sustainable. And we do that in our budget, as does, frankly, Chairman Ryan, and that is a good thing.
Let's talk about some of the entitlements now. We mentioned them in passing. Medicare and Social Security, you would reform. You would increase the age of eligibility. But for folks 55 and older, it would look the same as it does now in perpetuity. Specifically with Medicare, a lot of estimates suggest that that system is going to be completely out of money within 10 years. So are you addressing that soon enough?
Well, we think so, because you have to balance this. Look, we have to change the system or it will, in fact, go broke in the future. We want to keep that promise, but we also want to tell folks who are at or near retirement age, we know you've planned for the rules that are in place today, and it would be unfair to change those rules right when you're getting ready to participate in the program. So that's why we have that buffer frame in there of 10 years. But we do say after that, we have to change it. We have to move to a model that empowers the individual, gives them some kind of scholarship, says you go purchase the insurance that you think meets your needs, your family's needs, an empowering model, and model that I believe is consistent with American principles. And that's what we move to, as does Chairman Ryan in the Republican conference budget.
Congressman, you've talked a lot about where you and Chairman Ryan are in agreement. What do you see as the major differences between your
two things? Two things. We have a lower discretionary spending number because we fully account for the sequestered dollar amount in year one, and then we hold that. So we pick up significant savings for the taxpayer in the discretionary spending. And then on Medicaid, what we do with Medicaid is we block grant it to the states, just like Chairman Ryan does in the conference budget, but we freeze that at current levels, and we say, look, the innovation of governors and state legislatures running this closer to the recipients, we think you can achieve real savings and do a better job helping families at what we're currently spending. Chairman Ryan sends it to the states just like we do, but he builds in an inflator over the next several years. So those are the two differences, and those two differences right there are the difference between balancing in 28 years, which is what Chairman Ryan's budget does, or balancing in 5 years, which is what ours does. And we think it's unreasonable to say to the American people it's going to take us 28 years. So for me, I'll be 76 years old. For a kid who starts first grade this year, they're going to be in their 30s before the budget ever balances. That is just wrong. So we think you just got to get there faster.
Last topic, the tax code. He's talked about simplifying it with two different brackets. So what's the RSC proposal?
Yeah, we do basically the same thing. We have a little different lower rate, but we go to two rates, flatter, fairer system. I mean, everyone understands, Greg, that the current system is broken. I do a thing now. Every speech I give, I ask the audience, how many of you think we need a new tax code? And every hand goes up because they all understand that any tax code that permits 47% of the population not to pay the main tax, the income tax, is just, if you can't repair it, you gotta throw it out and start all over. So that's what we move to in our plan, as does the conference budget. And it's something the American people just instinctively get and understand needs to happen.
Lastly, what do you hear from leadership? Will there be a floor vote on this?
Yeah, we'll have a vote tomorrow. Potentially could be late this evening, but my guess is tomorrow there will be a vote on the budget. And on several different versions, some on the left are offering budgets that are, tax increases and really gut the military and all kinds of goofy things. But our budget will be voted on the House floor sometime in the next 2 days.
We'll certainly be following. Congressman, always great to have you with us. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Take care.
Congressman Jim Jordan from Ohio. He's chairman of the Republican Study Committee, the Coalition of House Conservatives. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.